Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Beth Fertig, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and we're going to open the phones now for your tales of email and text message miscommunication. Have you gotten in trouble for writing something in jest that was taken all too seriously? Have you suffered from web rage and sent instant messages you instantly regretted? Well, I'm inviting you to call us now at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or email us, but no flaming, at Brian Lehrer Show, that's one word, at WNYC.org. Be polite. I don't know if you saw that essay by Daniel Goldman in the New York Times yesterday. It was about this topic, and it hit a nerve around here. So we thought we'd get your take on this problem. Whoever first figured out that irony doesn't work in email, maybe it was Al Gore, hence those emoticons, the little happy faces and winks that are there for people to use. Have you learned your lesson the hard way that maybe those things don't work? Maybe that little smiley face doesn't quite convey the perfect tone of humor in your voice? Have your jokes fallen flat? Has it cost you at love or at work? And have you found yourself sending flaming messages in a white-hot fury that you suspect wouldn't last long enough for you to dial a telephone number? How do you prevent these escalations? Well, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or like I said, you can email us at brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And we've all had this happen where you write something in email and maybe you hit reply all instead of reply to the person who sent it to you. Or maybe you hastily wrote something a little too hastily and then sent it off. In his essay, Daniel Goldman in the New York Times cited a 2004 study that suggested some reasons why this happens. He says it's from anonymity, the lack of instant feedback, what he calls an exaggerated sense of self from being alone, alone in front of your computer, and the lack of anyone in charge. And he pointed out that this phenomenon works both ways. A shy person could open up and share things online that they would never say face to face. Or on the other side, things can get said in anger that are better left unsaid. And Goldman thinks this is because our brains expect feedback when communicating. Visual clues coming from facial expressions and body language that weren't exactly designed for email and chat sessions, that our brains rely on the visual clues of social stimulation. And Goldman calls these emoticons the email equivalent of a mood ring. He holds out hope that when video email replaces text-based messages, order and nuance will be restored. I don't know if anybody really does want the video telephone that never really did take off like they thought it would on the Jetsons. So we still are a step away from face-to-face communication when it comes to email, text messaging, using the computer, using your cell phone. But this essay in the New York Times was one of the most emailed essays yesterday and today, continues to be. It's called Flame First, Think Later, New Clues to Email Misbehavior. And so that's why we're inviting you to share your experiences on when you have flamed or web-raged, perhaps. Again, the phone number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And as I said, you can email us at brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. And we've already gotten a few calls, so I'd like to hear from Manny in New Jersey. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay. Thank you for receiving my call. It's a unique experience. And I'm a writer and artist. And since the internet, it's been fantastic for me because it's a way to really harness and archive my works with the hopes of writing a book and publishing my art that's been a lifetime in the coming.
Okay, yeah, but have you flamed anybody?
No, well, it's funny because people try to provoke you when you're on the internet, and I think it's just sometimes their own boredom.
You feel provoked. That's interesting.
Like the other day, I got a letter, and one person says, "Well, people say your art is great," and then after 3 years, one person wrote, and he says, "Well, I really disdain your art."
And so, did you feel compelled to write back because it was anonymous, and you can just tell that person you're a jerk?
You know what's funny? You get that urge at first, but then you figure, what's behind that? You know, after 3 years, why would someone and the way they did it? So, you do get that urge, though, and you think it's coming from the other side, maybe as a way they're out of their boredom and stuff like that. But the anger that I feel mostly is when the viruses and the computers, you figure it's a technology that's supposed to be forward, And it doesn't always work correctly. And then if you're an artist, a creative person, it blocks your flow. And therefore, you might be in a slump for a week when you were really burning hot with the art or the writings. And sometimes you figure, you know, are these viruses...
I'm sorry. It seems like we lost you. Sorry, Manny. We've got Diana in Manhattan who has a story, though. Hello?
Hi, yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's not so much a story, it's more like a predicament. And it's a little more subtle than the flaming problem. When you're at work and you're communicating via email, there's something about email, I don't know what it is, but everything seems to come out more abrupt. So it's really kind of easy for communications to go haywire. And I consider myself to be a very good writer. But I have sat in front of that computer sometimes for, you know, like minutes at a time, deliberating, you know, like walking on eggshells and saying, gosh, should I say this? Should I say that?
So for you, it's the opposite. It makes you hold your thoughts
a little. Absolutely. And, you know, I also love to sort of lubricate conversations with jokes and irony, I guess. And it just, as Goldman says, it doesn't work on the internet. So you just basically sort of... end up with these very kind of flat, declarative statements, which then sort of force you into that whole sort of abruptness business.
Right, where you think somebody's being kind of rude and they're not.
Well, I try to basically assume that they're not being rude because I know what the issue is, but I'm scared that they're going to think that I'm rude.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for sharing. This is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Beth Fertig filling in. We want your calls on your email miscommunication experiences. We're at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I have to admit, I just had one of them myself. I mistakenly lost a caller because I clicked the mouse too quickly. So I'm very sorry for that. It was not intended. And I'm sure we all do these little things every day where we click the mouse too fast. And in the case of email, unfortunately, you can wind up giving a very bad message if you don't edit and take as long as that other caller did when she thinks about very carefully what she's going to say before she clicks send. We do have some more calls. I want to hear from Heather in the Bronx. Hi, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Very much. Mine wasn't an email per se, but it was an AOL internet relay message that I received from an anonymous caller. It actually was an operator relaying a message to me. I'd never heard of this before, revealing an affair that a family member is having. So I was completely flabbergasted and had no idea what to do with this message. I felt trespassed upon because I had this huge bomb put in my lap, and I couldn't do anything with it except what it suggested I do. So
what'd you do?
Like I said, I haven't myself flamed anyone, but I felt like a victim myself, even though I know that I was distant from the actual relationship.
Well, I guess that is an awkward situation.
I was not sure. That I didn't even know that that kind of thing existed, and that I was shocked that somebody could leave me a message completely anonymous with no caller ID, and the person who actually constructed the message didn't even leave it. It was by an operator through an AOL internet relay message service. That's basically what the person said.
Huh. All right, well, thank you. I guess we should all be on the lookout for maybe it's a new hoax.
If anyone has to flame somebody, that I guess would be a really good way to do it, because it certainly did make me feel like a victim.
So. Oh, that's terrible. Well, thank you so much for calling. Again, the phone number is 212-433-9692. If you want to send us your own stories of email miscommunication, you could even do it by email at brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. We did get one email from an attorney who says yesterday he got an email from an opposing party in which this guy complained to his lawyer about the judge. He did not say nice things about the judge, our listener writes. Instead of replying to his attorney, however, he had hit reply all and replied to the entire service list, which included 45 lawyers representing all parties in the case and the judge. So another argument for looking before you leap. Don't hit reply all if you don't intend to reply to everyone. This article about the emails in the New York Times by Daniel Goleman, Think Flame First, Think Later, he talks about the anonymity of the web being the real reason behind this, that we don't feel as connected to people when we're behind a computer. I'd like to encourage you to share your stories. Is that what's caused you to flame something, perhaps? We've got a lot of phone calls right now. I want to go to Debbie in Westchester. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I don't know how many of you get these emails where it's basically like, oh, I call them like goodness emails, which is just that, you know, they make you read this long paragraph, talk to you about being kind to others or women's issues or whatever. It goes
right,
on
and if
on
you pass
on
it
on
to 12 people, something nice will happen to you.
Right, and then it asks you, please send this goodness or whatever to 10 other people. And it used to be that, you know,
you hate the goodness, right?
Oh, it's just annoying because, you know, if you were at a party, people wouldn't be reading like 8 pages to you of like this weird story that's supposed to make you cry for no reason except for making.
So what do you do? Do you hit delete?
Well, what happened was in the beginning, I would like do it. I would send it to 10 people, but felt guilty, and then I thought they'd know it's on the, you know, I don't know how the server works, and then it was overwhelming. I would keep sending it to people, and then slowly I was getting emails back from friends who were saying, please don't send me that crap. So then I ended up having to, like, go back over, you know, and think about it. And then what happened was I replied to all at one point, and I just spewed. I just said, I don't understand, like, why you guys bother to do this. Don't you work? Isn't your day full of important things? Like, you know, how are you getting so involved in this day-to-day, you know, this
murky
world?
So you flamed them.
Right. And what happened was I got back, like, hundreds of responses from people I never even met or saying, you know, you have a very negative attitude. It's people like you who make the world so awful. And I, you know, I'm really not a bad person, but it's just like, how much time of the day do you have?
All right.
It would have been faster if I just sent it to 10 people and let it go.
Well, thanks so much. We have another caller, Tracy. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. What's your tech woe that you want to share about email?
Well, I had worked at an internet service company for a number of years doing help desk, and very often we would get phone calls from somebody that uses our service that had sent emails or one email in particular and wanted to unsend it because I guess they thought better of it after they hit that send button. This would happen all the time. All the time people wanted to unsend an email because maybe they had said something they didn't want to say or they were flaming or whatever it is. But it was a very typical problem. Again, I do work in the technology field today still, and I would just like to tell your listeners that when you get these emails saying if you forward this to 10 people, Microsoft is going to send you money. They're not sending you any money. You're not going to get a kidney for some kid in a third world country. Nobody's life is going to be saved or harmed if you don't forward it. It's
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We have someone who's been a victim of getting these angry emails. Hello. How are you doing, Mike?
Hi. How are you doing?
I understand you're a school teacher.
I am in New Jersey. And one of the issues I've had is parents emailing really nasty emails about trivial issues. I had a parent recently with a grade with a student, and I had mistakenly told the student the wrong grade, and the parent sent a very, very angry email of what was really a trivial incident, and I ended up... corresponding back and forth with her, but, you know, letting her know that I'd be happy to take it to the next level and things like that. I mean, I treated it as a serious thing, but it was just a trivial incident.
So you think parents are feeling empowered by email to tell a school teacher whenever they're mad about something that happened to their kid that day in class?
I think so, yeah. I think they, I think in a way, because there's no face-to-face contact, they're willing to be even more honest about how they feel. In this case, the parents said, you know, this is why she's taking her daughter out of the district. So this type of thing, you know, this type of, you know, little mistakes like this that really add
okay.
up.
Well, thanks so much. Thank you for all of your calls. My name's Beth Fertig. I'm filling in for Brian Lehrer today and tomorrow as well. Stay tuned. In the next few minutes, we're going to have the Leonard Lopate Show up next. You're listening to WNYC, AM 820 and FM 93.9, and on the web at WNYC.org.